Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Well, talk about somebody getting their wires crossed, and I guess I'm at that age where your wires cross more often and short out. But Janine asked me last night, she says, I was sitting there studying, she said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, I'm preaching on Revive Us, Lord. And she looked at me kind of strange and goes, well, did you forget that tomorrow's Mother's Day? I go, oh, I guess I did. So, the sermon and scripture you see in the bulletin today will be for next Sunday. So next Sunday, I'm going to preach Revive Us, Lord. Watch me text you this week and give you the scripture again. I tell you what, I used to make fun of my grandfather for being old and senile. And he told me, he said, Jimmy Glenn, you're going to be there one day. I said, oh no, here I'm doing it. So, hey. But today, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, three things that make an outstanding mom. Because I want to honor all you moms. And when you get to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we are so thankful today for Mary being chosen, the one who would give birth to your son, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And we are so thankful, dear God, today for all of our mothers. And God, I pray a special blessing again upon each and every one of them. And like Milton said this morning, doesn't matter whether they gave birth or not, but in some way they were a mom and raised kids at some point in their life. And Father, we pray today that you just give them a wonderful day, Lord. And Father, as I preach this message, let everything come from you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, and nothing from my own words or flesh or thoughts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One Mother's Day, six-year-old little Johnny and his four-year-old sister Susie presented their mom with a Mother's Day present, a very small spindly house plant. While it wasn't the finest looking specimen, they had bought it with their own money that they had saved up. Their mom was very thrilled. She hugged and kissed her children and told them that she loved them for thinking of her. Johnny said, "There are some other flowers we wanted to buy for you, Mom, but we didn't have enough money." "Yeah," said little Susie. "They had a real nice bunch of flowers at the flower shop that we were going to buy. But the mother said, I love this plant that you bought for me. It's made me so happy." And Johnny said, "I know, Mom, but these flowers would have been perfect for you. They were in a wreath and they had a big ribbon on them that said, rest in peace." And the mother said, "Well, why would you think of that?" And Johnny said, "Because you're always asking for a little peace so you can rest." And you know, it's amazing that Milton said what he did this morning, because in my introductory notes, I was going to say giving birth does not make a woman a mother. It takes a special woman to be a mother. A mother is a person who is willing to take responsibility of investing her life into another human being who is totally dependent upon her to do so. You know, this morning, as I went over to memory care and I sat in my mom's room, my sister was there, and then my brother came in shortly after, and there's pictures hanging on the wall around mom's bed, and all the pictures are of the three of us together as little kids. And I think back to my own mom and the job that she had in raising us three mongrels, I want to say. You know, I'm surprised that the three of us are even still alive to talk about it today. Because my mother used to say often and frequently, if you kids don't stop misbehaving, she said, I'm going to shoot every one of you. And she meant it. But, you know, I think we drove her to the point many a times that she'd want to shoot us. But anyway, some of the greatest memories I have of my mom was her love, her dedication, and her devotion to her children. And upon reading the scripture today, you think of the shoes that Mary had to fill. Mary has found favor with God to carry the Christ child. What an honor. Could you imagine if one of you ladies had been back in that time, had been told by an angel of the Lord that you were going to carry the child of God, that it was going to be a conception by the Holy Spirit, a holy event. I mean, could you imagine the wonderment that would fill your mind and the joy that would fill your heart? And I think about Mary as she stepped into the role and she raised Jesus. Now, the one funny thing that comes to my mind, you know, when they used to walk everywhere they went a lot of times back in the days of the Bible, and you remember that they had been in one place and Joseph and Mary had left to go home, and Jesus had stayed behind and was teaching in the temple, and they had walked quite a few miles when they realized Jesus wasn't there. And I always wonder, and my mom would crack up about this when I talk about it, I said, I always wondered if Mary wanted to tan Jesus' hide when they got so far away and realized they were going to have to turn around and walk all the miles back. But you know, when they got back to where that Jesus was teaching in the temple, Joseph and Mary weren't angry, but they listened at the way that he taught. So I know that in his raising, Mary gave a lot to Jesus because, like I said, God found favor with her because she had a special gift inside of her. So moms, today, God chose you to give birth to the children that you did because He saw a special gift inside of you. He saw a love. He saw a character. He saw something inside of you, something beautiful that He knew you would give to your children. And not only that, when your daughters and sons even grew up, what you instilled in them, they would pass on down to their generation of family. And it's something that would keep going on and on and on. And when I look back at Mother's Days, I often remember TV shows that we would watch on the Christian television network. And we would always see a movie and there would be a mom sitting there reading from the Bible to her children. And the children, you know, they were always happy and they were so filled with joy. And when I think about that, that kind of brings me to my first point, that for a mother to be outstanding, she would have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. For a mother to really be above all other moms, she would have to have Jesus Christ in her heart and life. Because for a mother to be a Christian, she would need that Christian walk in order to raise her children according to God's plan. Do you know that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives? And do you know that if a praying mother will seek the Lord every day of their life in raising these kids, that God will reveal to that mother how she is to give to her kids accordingly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So we know that Mary was a woman of spiritual integrity. Luke 1:30 says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary was a person who enjoyed God's presence. So that's how Mary found favor with God. Her life was surrounded with everything of the Lord. So moms, I know a lot of you have given that to your kids. What you took in from God, you were able to give that into your children. You taught your children how to pray. You taught your children how not to fear. You taught your children how to love. You taught your children how to be givers. You taught your children how to be forgiving, how to be compassionate and caring in so many different ways, how to be good workers. When I was growing up around my Grandma Miller, the woman was a worker and loving and so devoted to her family. I remember going out into that big garden as a child, and I mean, you would see rows of strawberries, green beans, peas, potatoes, watermelon. They grew it all. They didn't have a lot of money, but they bought their own seeds and they planted everything. And tomatoes and corn, it was all there. But the one thing that Grandma did, she taught us how to go into that garden, how to tell when something was ready and ripe for the picking, how to clean it, how to process it, do all of that. And she did it so gently and compassionately. And Mary, being that kind of mother, she instilled so many gifts into Jesus as she raised him. So moms, I'm sure that you gave to your kids in the same way. But we learn so much from those in our, from our family. But the greatest thing is what we are taught and learned by our moms from the Word of God. Because see, what we learn from God's Word when it's put inside of us, well, we know that the Word of God, once we take it up inside of our hearts and our lives, it will never depart from us. We may walk away from it at some point in our life, but the Word of the Lord is within us and it never departs from our life. It is always there. See, because the Word of God, it is powerful than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God is powerful enough to change a person's very life. I remember hearing so many stories of mothers giving testimonies of how they prayed for their kids to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the greatest tribute and the greatest testimony and witness that you could ever hear from a mom. That a mom spent her time on her knees praying for her children and hearing of the day when their kids would call their mom and say, "Mom, I've got the greatest news I've ever wanted to share. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and I owe it all to you for what you instilled in me." So I want you to think about that for a second. Moms, grandmas, and aunts, what you've instilled in somebody, whether you thought it made a difference or not, it was planted as a seed in that person's life. That seed grew, and it came up in God's timing that they gave their hearts and lives to the Lord. Mary was a woman who was also hungry for God. Moms, I know a lot of you have probably spent your life desiring and seeking the ways of the Lord. How do we live for the Lord? How do we make it each and every day? It's only by His guidance and by His grace that we can make it through this life. You know, some of the most trying times that I've heard of from families past, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have the finest car. They didn't have the finest clothing. And a lot of times they walked wherever they went. And there was a lot of kids in some of the families in years past. In my in-laws, you know, families, I heard about, you know, 14 kids on my father-in-law's side. And on my mother-in-law's side, there was a lot of children too there. But they always talked about going to church. They always talked about how in the roughest times of life, they saw their mama praying and sometimes crying upon her knees, asking God for the strength and the guidance to teach her kids the right ways, to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. And by God's strength and by God's provision, God provided through the greatest of moms. And I'm sure there is many times that I just wonder if Mary did fall upon her own knees and say, "Lord, sometimes this is too much for me." And God always gave her the strength and the grace to carry on another minute, another hour, another day, another year. God provided for Mary because she was hungry to consume from the Lord. So the first thing necessary to become an outstanding mother is a personal relationship with God. Next, a mother has to have a proper relationship with her family. Mary supported her husband's leadership. Now, I want to say this, that a man should lead his family, and the man should be the leader of the family, but that man should also be the type of a leader. Let me back up a minute and say this. God says that husbands should love their wives as Christ loves the church. One good thing that makes a mom is the love and the leadership that comes from the leader of the household, the husband. See, the husband has a role in his wife's life to love her, to cherish her, to honor her, to respect her, to be there in her ugly moments, as we would call it. I've told my wife many a times, I said, "Honey, if you have those ugly moments, it's not going to make me turn my back on you. It's going to make me be right there by your side to love you and uphold you in everything of this life because I love her and care about her. I will protect my wife. I've always said that I would give my life if I had to, and I physically would, seriously, would give my life to protect and defend my wife if I ever had to. Because that's the love that the Lord has put inside of me. And I know that if I'm giving that love and compassion to my wife, that she will look up to me and she will have a respect and an honor for me. But mostly, I want my wife to honor and respect God and love Him first. God should always be our first love. Nobody else. See, God is a jealous God. And God expects us to come to Him first in all things. So anyway, Mary supported Joseph because he was the leader of the household. And basically, they worked together. Mary never tried to override Joseph in any way. And I guarantee you that Joseph didn't try to override Mary. They went together like peas and carrots. Who was that would say? That was Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump said, "We go together like peas and carrots." And I tell you what, peas and carrots is pretty good when you put butter and all that good stuff on them. Funny how I talk about food every time I preach. Mary also taught her children discipline in honor of God. Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." There's your scripture right there from Proverbs. So moms, you train your children up in the admonition and the word of the Lord, and it won't depart from them. You may think they've become, at some point in their life, a rebellious, foolish person when they decide to walk away from the Lord. Sometimes kids will want to go their own way and explore their own avenue of life. And sometimes you have to go through the pain of letting them go their own way and experiencing the hardships of life, but never quit praying for them. Don't ever give up on your kids. Do you know how many mothers I've talked to that have said to me, "Even though my children are grown, I'm still raising them"? And I mean that, what I mean by that is by saying that even with their own families, these kids come back to mom and say, "Mom, I want to beat this kid. What did you do to me in this time? Or what kind of advice would you give to me?" I hear so many kids today saying, "Boy, I wish my mom was still here. I wish that I would have had this or that time with them." If your mom is still here, then make it happen. I've been telling my mom every day, whether she's, able to hear me. I'm sure she's able to hear me. But I tell my mom every day I love her. And sit by her bedside, prayed for her. And I've told the Lord it's okay to take her. Because right now, I said, "Lord, we don't need her anymore. You can take her. She has done her job, and she's raised her kids." And you know what? In our lives, we've raised kids in our household. Janine and I, even though we've got two boys that are adult young men, you know what? We still put into their lives by how we are around them, by the things we say and do, to be a Christ witness, be a witness for Christ unto them. And because it also passes down from them to our grandchildren. And then one day our grandchildren will grow up and their families, they'll have a family, and we want them to put into their... I won't forget probably the proudest thing that I think ever happened, and I wish that the grandkids would have wanted their grandma too. But we went to one of our sons got baptized one evening, and they had the altar call at the end of service. And our other son took his three kids, and they were down at the altar, and he was praying with them. He was down there talking to them. And then I saw our son got up. He was looking our way, and he's going like this. And I pointed at Janine. I thought he was talking to us. As I point, he goes, "No," he was pointing to me. So I went up front, and our grandkids said, "We want to get saved, but we want Grandpa to pray with us. We want Grandpa to lead us." And all three of them right there, at the steps of Grange Hall Baptist Church gave their hearts and lives to the Lord that evening and got saved. And Grandpa got to pray. And I kind of throw that in there in the leadership part. And then I called my wife up there to give her the good news. She come up there and I said, our grandkids all accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior tonight. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they're going to heaven. And I tell you what, every time I see my grandkids, boy, they just run up and they wrap them arms around me. My grandson, he'll give me the tightest bear hugs. I told him, I said, sometimes I think you're trying to squeeze my ribs out of me. And he says, that's because I love you. And he said, I just love to hug you tight, Grandpa. Boy, it's the greatest thing. And they just hug Grandma. And it's because of what we've put into them. See, Janine and I, we've been a team to work together. So I make sure that I put into her what God puts into me. And then lastly, a mom has to have a willingness to serve God. And what I mean by that is that a mom has got to give her all. Forget about herself. Do you know how many times a mom gave up dinner so her kids could eat? Oh, yeah. Do you know how many times a mother has sacrificed for her kids and she gave up sleep to pray with them when they were scared? How many times that mom sat by their bedside and prayed when they were sick? Or when they were going through troubled times or sad, whatever, mom was always there to comfort them, make them laugh. My mom used to tell these silly jokes to make us laugh when we was down or sad. You know, something like the neighborhood kids, you know, you get into little squabbles as kids, and we'd go home crying. Well, first thing mom would do, mom would give us a cup of sugar-laced Kool-Aid, and she'd sit there and tell us everything was all right. See, my mom was willing to be a mom. My mom was willing to take us to church. That was one of the most beautiful things about my mom. She made sure that we went to church. She made sure that she sang her gospel songs out loud around the house. And you know what I find myself doing? I find myself at my age now singing a lot of the same songs around the house that my mama sang. Last night, well, Janine went to Walmart to go get plants and flowers to plant outside today and or plant outside this week. And I went home and had my moment. And all the grief that I've been feeling, all the heaviness just finally went washing away. Everything I've been going through. And I try to hide it. I try to be there for other people, even though I'm going through a lot, because I care about people. So when I hear someone else is going through something, I want to be there for them, to give into them, because I'm willing to do so. But I thought about my mom's willingness to love us, to care for us, to take care of us, and how much she sacrificed. So I'm thankful for my mama. And the greatest joy will be when she takes her last breath here and takes that step into heaven and lives for all of eternity with Jesus Christ. And she hears the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Luke 1:38 says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So see, what Mary said there was, Father, let it be thy will, and I'll do it. Moms, how many times have you said, according to thy will, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it however you say to do it. We all know and can agree that we've come up with our own ideas and plans and said, but Lord, I got one that's maybe a little better. Would you listen? The Lord says, nope, I want you to listen to my plan. I want you to abide by me because you won't go wrong. Sometimes I've always thought the Lord let us go down that path just to teach us a lesson. But see, God is so loving and kind and compassionate. And that's why He gave us moms. God gave us special angels, and their name is Mom. And I'm thankful for anybody in my life that I considered a mom. The other night we had a visitation at the funeral home, and I was standing up by the front door, and my best friend's mom and sister walked through the front door. I used to call Olita Mom. We always at her house, and every time we go to her house, she had food, and she had soda pop. And she made sure that we had our bellies filled, but mostly she made sure that we had our hearts filled. She was always showing the joy of the Lord. When she come through that door the other night and I looked at her, you know what the first thing I said was? I said, Mom! And she smiled so big. And she come up to me and we wrapped our arms around each other. And she held me so tight, just like she did years back. And then I always told Jamie, I said, just like my sister. Gave Jamie a big old hug, and all the memories come flooding back. And I thank God for Olita Arnold, because she was a big influence on my life growing up. It was her natural love that made me know that I was special and important. And she would pray for me. Whoops, sorry, let me turn that off. She would always pray for me, always love me. And that's something I always remember. But mostly I remember my mom the best, my real mom, for all the good that she gave. Even there's times my mom wasn't right. There was times my mom did things wrong. But you know what? I forgave my mama, and I loved her regardless.